We are thankful for this small book of James that is before us this morning. Not many chapters, but oh, how strong it is. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that it will help us all to have a strong faith, a committed faith, a faith that can be challenged, a faith that can be stretched. Lord Jesus, I thank you that we as your people are bond servants. We are here to serve you, the living God. We're here to obey the word of the living God. We are here under the leadership also of the Holy Spirit of God. I pray that you will give us spiritual understanding, that when we leave this place of praise and worship and learning, we will have the wisdom, the insight, and the understanding that is needed to share Jesus Christ with others, to share Jesus with those who do not know anything about Him. We thank you for the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We thank you that He has paid our sin debt in full. We are thankful for divine enablement that comes to us, revealing Christ, being able to receive that faith that He has. It is a gift. I thank you again for His love that bears all things. And I pray as bond servants, as children of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we will learn to have that kind of love. The love that is enduring, a love that is self-sacrificing, a love that we all need, that others may realize that Jesus Christ is very real, for He is love. And may that love rule in this church, and may it rule in our hearts forever and ever. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have something to write with, I want you to get ready. We're fixing to start right now. You'll notice we're in James chapter 1, verse 1. We're going to do a very detailed exegesis this morning, as we will do the whole book of James. The first thing I want you to write down is, number one, when you become a Christian, you come under new leadership. When you become a Christian, that is a believer in Jesus Christ, you come under new leadership. That new leadership, number one, is Jesus Christ Himself. Jesus Christ is God. The next will be the Word of the Living God. The third thing in reference to new leadership will be the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:18, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled or divinely enabled or divinely persuaded by the Holy Spirit, who is also God. Secondly, when you become a Christian, you are to commit to God's kingdom purpose. When you become a Christian, you are to commit to God's kingdom purpose. Thirdly, there is no excuse for a Christian to live in uncertainty. There is no excuse for a Christian to live in uncertainty or doubt. Right beside James chapter 1, verse 1, I want you to write this also. An authentic Christian faith. An authentic Christian faith lived out in a hostile world. That's the message James has for us. An authentic Christian faith lived out in a hostile world. Let's begin reading with verse 1. James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes who are dispersed abroad, he says, greetings. Well, let's look at that word bondservant as we begin this morning. It is someone who belongs to another. Stop there. May I ask you this question? Do you belong to the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ? Do you believe Jesus Christ has paid your sin debt in full. Do you believe that Jesus is the living God? Does he have a point of origin?
No.
He does not. Has he always existed?
Yes.
If you do not believe Jesus is God, can you be saved?
No.
You cannot, according to the Word of God. So it is someone who belongs to another. And if you are a bondservant, you are a Christian who has received Jesus Christ as his personal Lord and Savior, and you now belong under his leadership, you belong to another, and that will be forever and ever and ever. Now here, believers who willingly live under Christ's authority, that is the Word of the living God, as his devoted followers. A bondservant submits in faith. What is faith? Faith is you responding positively to divine persuasion. A bond servant submits in faith to God's program. Where do you find the program of God? Word of God. He is willing to have his faith challenged and stretched. Number two, a bond servant of Christ is a person who belongs. Underline the word belongs. And that means changes allegiance from himself to the Lord Jesus Christ. So a bondservant of Christ is a person who belongs to him as his bride at the cost of his blood. Underline the word blood. It is a reference to the death, burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Christ himself, and made part of his very own body. Question, what does Christ show to those who belong to him? An unlimited love. An unlimited love. A love that does not quit. It endures through thick and thin. I'm going to read something about love that you don't have. So what is unlimited love? Love bears all things. Is there any Christian in this room that can actually say that and mean it at this moment in your Christian life? Thank you. Love bears all things. Love doesn't say this far and no further. Love is not limited by what is reasonable or by what other people would be willing to put up with. Godly love doesn't quit. Godly love doesn't quit. Does God ever stop loving you?
No,
he doesn't. What kind of love is that? Is it self-sacrificing love? Is it unconditional love? Is it God's love? It certainly isn't man's, is it? So godly love doesn't quit when others become annoying or difficult to deal with. Back to the printout, if you will. Number two, what is life's highest honor? What is life's highest honor? It is belonging to Jesus Christ. It is belonging to Jesus Christ. What is the most important thing about you? Your identity in Christ. Being a visible and verbal follower of Christ in all that you do. Number three, the bondservant of Christ desires every decision they make to be in faith. That is the Lord's in-birth persuasion. So I'll ask you again, what is faith? Faith is trust in God. Faith is confidence in God. Faith is devotion unto the living God. Faith is responding again positively to divine persuasion that is brought to you by the living God and the Holy Spirit himself. All right, number four. Your commitment to be a bondservant means assigning self-government. Underline self-government over to the Lord in every scene of life. Bondservants are willing to change their lives to conform to God's living word. Number five, believers are owned. They are purchased by Christ. How were you purchased? Once again, death, burial, and resurrection. You're bought
with a price, so that our lives are not our own. That is the life of a bondservant. That is why he is able to do anything and everything and face all things that God asks him to. Number six, bond servant means the bond man, one that is in a permanent relation of servitude to another. His will altogether swallowed up in the will of the other. So Christ's bondservants willingly waive all rights to be self-determining. I want you to take your Bible and turn to Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 says, I have been crucified. Who's doing the talking here?
Paul
is. With Christ. And it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives, please underline this, in me. In me. What has been the control up to this point? Outward control by the laws of God. Now, what is changing as a result of the new covenant? How is it different from the old covenant? You had the law of the old covenant, but now you have something different in the new covenant. Where is Jesus Christ? Paul said, He is in me. Make this note, if you will. The internal rule of Jesus Christ in the heart. And that's what he means by Jesus living in me. It's an internal rule, not just an outward rule. All right, back to the printout, if you will. So bondservants, God's people, are driven by God's perspective rather than feelings or cultural opinion. They live by the internal rule of Jesus Christ in the heart. Well, here's a point. Point one. The world teaches freedom is independence from God.
No.
Is that correct?
No.
Matthew chapter 5, verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit. What does that mean? Blessed are those who are 100% dependent upon the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. So the world teaches freedom is independence from God. That is a lie straight out of hell. It is a lie from Satan. In other words, governing our own lives as we see fit. Can you actually govern your own life? Yes or no? Can you tell me what is going to happen to you tomorrow? Yes or no? Can you tell me what is going to happen to you next month? Yes or no? What is going to happen next year? Yes or no? So we can't do that. The world teaches a world without Christian ethics, a world with no regard to the word of the living God. The world teaches freedom is independence from God. In other words, governing our own lives as we see fit. Can I ask you a question again? Can you truthfully govern your own lives? And how can you govern your own lives when you are not all-knowing? You're not everywhere present. You're not all-sufficient. You're not all-powerful. Who have I just described as the one who can govern your life? His name is Almighty God, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. So self-determination and self-government, however, is diluted bondage. Only absolute dependence on Christ brings genuine liberty and freedom in life. Number two, true success in life is voluntary, serving under God as He leads. Who's leading in your life? Are you leading? Are you capable of leading? Would your life be a holy mess if you didn't have God leading? Thank you for your honesty. Christ Himself set this model by stating the greatest of all is the servant of all. Service done under Christ brings unmatchable dignity. Is there any higher honor than being a servant of Jesus Christ? What about the eternal meaning? What kind of eternal meaning is attached to being a servant? What you do now as a servant under the leadership of Christ, does that have eternal meaning? The answer is absolutely yes. All right, turn to page 2. Let's look at God. Is God the creator and owner of all things? Is God the one who is eternally existent? God's unlimited attributes. Just pay attention to what's on the page, not my voice. Here we go. Does God have unlimited power? Do you have unlimited power? Are there times you need it? God has unlimited power. God is all-knowing. Is there anybody here that is all-knowing? Would you raise your hand, please? Thank you. God is all-loving. Is there anyone here that is all-loving? Can you be all-loving without God? What kind of love is this love of God? It is divine. It has come from Him. Can you conjure up this kind of love? God is. What does that mean? That will never change. God is going to be all-loving throughout all eternity. God is committed to giving Himself away. I find that hard to humanly understand. God Himself is willing to give Himself away in a covenant relationship that is binding by the salvation that has come from Jesus Christ with all who truly serve Him. As the Creator, God extends Himself to people in every circumstance. So are you telling me that God loves you enough, knows you well enough, that He is willing to extend Himself to you in every circumstance of your life? Correct? God is eternal. What does eternal mean as you're underlying it? Eternal means that God has no beginning. He has no point of origin. He is unlimited. You are limited. Don't you want somebody that is unlimited in your life and all-powerful and all-knowing? What's your answer? Do you sometimes have to deal with that which is not known? Do you sometimes have to deal with that which is beyond human reasoning and human logic? Yes. So God is eternal. He has always existed. He is unlimited in everything. Almighty. All-knowing. Underline all-knowing. If you are not all-knowing, then how do you prepare for the next day? If you're not all-knowing, how do you prepare for next week or next month or next year? If you're not all-knowing, how do you live? If you don't know much of anything, then you're living in uncertainty and doubt. Is that correct? That's what James says. God is eternal. Get with Him. He's been around forever. He's unlimited. You're limited. He's almighty. You're not. We're weak. He's all-knowing. He knows how to plan your life. He knows what to put in your life to bring you where He wants you to be in life. Can you do that? You'll make a mess out of it. Is that correct? God is eternal, unlimited, almighty, all-knowing, and He's everywhere present. Can God be where you are at any given time?
Yes.
Is God here at this moment?
Yes.
Will He always work that way?
Yes.
He is everywhere present. And all of His nature is loving. Love bears, again, all things. Love says, I'm not going to quit on you. Jesus says, I'm going to love you unconditionally. I'm going to love you in a self-sacrificing way. You are down and out and you're crying your eyes out and you don't know what to do. It's okay. I'm here. I knew this time was going to happen. I knew it was going to come in your life. And guess what? In eternity past, before anything was created, I already had the solution to all the problems you're ever going to have in your life as a human being. I'm always there. I'm always having the answers. I'm never going to quit loving you. How important is that today? Everywhere present in all of His nature is loving. It is free. It is personal. Underline the word personal. It is also sovereign. Sovereign means absolute authority over the entire universe and everything in it. Guess what? All of His ways are right. Is there any human being that can stand up? Is there any Christian that can stand up and say, all my ways are right? You can't do it. But there is one who can. His name is the living God. Listen, James is saying, when you decide to willingly and have that divine desire and you respond to divine persuasion in a positive way, you can do what? Let's reread it. You can live with all your ways right. Did you misread it, Terry? No, I read it right. If all His ways are right, then when I decide to live by faith in Jesus Christ and obedience to the Word of God, guess what? All my ways supplied by God will be right. No guesswork. No stumbling around. All your ways will be right because you're walking in the ways of those that are right. And that is God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
God always knows the news in advance. He knew Joe Biden was going to be elected. No surprise. Maybe somebody was needed to work out further history to bring us closer to the rapture of the church, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've got news for you. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is coming.
Amen.
And you need to accept His writings and His ways that are dealing with it. God always knows the news in advance because He is always previous. Underline that word previous. Then here's Jeremiah 1:5. Listen to what it says. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before I formed you in the womb, when your mother's womb was empty, I knew you. So when did life begin? In eternity past with the living God. I, He says, knew you before anything transpired in a sexual way. I find that awesome. Abortionist. The abortionist, like vultures standing around the table saying, I'll take a leg and you take an arm. And you can have the head. And you can have the other arm and the other leg. You want to know what it's all about? Kind of gory, isn't it? Don't mess with what was in the mind of God in eternity past. Period. Non-negotiable. You got it? Thank you. Jeremiah 1:5, before I, the living God who has always existed, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Man, I've read that a lot, Chad, but it just really hit me in a different way. Life begins in eternity past. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. Can I ask you something? Are you still walking on the same path that God set you on? From eternity past. If you want to play God and say, I know everything I need to know. I'm in control of it. I'm a little G-O-D. God says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I need the all-knowing, almighty, all-powerful God that is unlimited and that can do anything. He set me apart on a path to walk and live. And you know what? Without God knowing His ways, I cannot even begin to know what the path is He set me on. Does anything ever take God by surprise?
No.
No. Here's a note. He has a plan. When did the plan begin? Go ahead and say it.
Eternity
back. Yeah, you're visiting here, but you'll get used to it. He has a plan. And the plan began in eternity past in the mind of God. He has had it from eternity past, and His purpose will be accomplished. Thank you. Is the Lord always in charge?
Yes.
Does His plans always triumph?
Yes.
Is God involved in every detail of your life? Every nook and cranny? Is He there?
Yes.
Now, He should be. More than likely, He's not. But you know what? By the grace of God, let Him go to work on it. God is not remote, uninvolved with His creation, but rather near through His imparted Word. You know what? You don't read the Word, you feel distance from God. You open the Bible and start reading the Word of God, and it absorbs you. It pulls you in. You feel near. You feel, I am there in what I am reading. Lord, a title of deity is used directly of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the absolute master like God, possesses all authority as the owner and sovereign over all. Matthew 28:18. Jesus came up and said to them, all authority, all power of absolute rule in heaven and on earth has been given to me. In other words, Jesus says, I am in charge. Not the Democrats, not the Republicans, not the independents, not the BLM, not Antifa, not woke. Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Don't you ever fear these outside forces, for God is the force of all that exists.
Amen.
Jesus is His human name. As the incarnate, the God-man, eternal Son of God, Jesus is the divine Messiah. Here's the question. Why did Jesus Christ take on human flesh? So His physical body could become the vehicle to absorb all our judgment for sin. It had to go somewhere. It had to be absorbed somewhere. Now you know. Here's the point. Jesus' body was created, not His person. Page 3. Top of page 3. Christ created all things. True or false?
False.
True. Including his own physical body. True. If he created all things, then he had to be creator of his what? Own physical body. Baby Jesus was eternal God. The infant from infinity. Only Christ's humanity, the physical body, began where? At Bethlehem. When the Holy Spirit caused Mary to become pregnant without male fertilization. Even this, however, was foreordained when? Before creation. In other words, in the eternal counsel of the tripersonal God. Here's a question. Does Jesus Christ indwell every believer? Well, how much of you does the Holy Spirit have? If He's in you, is that correct? Is that what the Bible says? So the question logically to ask was, well, how much of you does He have? How much of you does He want? 100%. Are you always and exactly directed by God through the teaching of the Holy Spirit? I'll let you answer that one. Then you got 12 tribes. Why not 58? Why not 60? Why not 75? Let's look at it. 12 is the number used in Scripture for the Lord accomplishing His kingdom purpose. So when you read the 12 tribes, this should come up in your spirit and in your mind. 144,000 is the ultra emphatic way to express the Lord's victorious kingdom plan. 144,000, 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes, 144,000. So what should you recognize and what should register instantly? It is this. He's going to work out His eternal purpose with the 144,000, just a part of it. All right, here we go. Who are dispersed? Disperse means to sow or scatter seed. It also means thoroughly scatter, distribute seed widely. Boy, this is God at work. In an unexpected way, the dispersion fulfills Psalm 67:2. Listen, that your way may be known on earth, your salvation and deliverance among all nations. The size of this dispersion, what was it? Over 4 million. Over 4 million were turned loose. Oh, they say they were persecuted and sent out. God says, with a smile on His face, yeah, I allowed that persecution. I allowed that big number to go out. You know why? To sow the seed of the gospel. And He's still doing it today. Back to the printout. Greetings. Fullness of grace to you. Living in God's preferred will. Happiness requires things going our way. Grace, gladness, is simply being conscious of Christ's triumph and an unbounding grace. What is grace? God doing for you what you can't do for yourself? It is God's riches at Christ's expense. Number two, it surprises people that in the Bible, God never promises earthly happiness. Well, what about the health, wealth, and prosperity? Well, you'll have to call Joel Osteen on that one. So it surprises people that in the Bible, God never promises earthly happiness according to its popular definition. Instead, the Lord promises something far more wonderful, that is granting grace. And you know what? I like to see God grant grace because He knows who needs grace. And I'll tell you, to be honest, we all need it every day. We're saved by grace. We live by grace. You know what? And I'm going to die by dying grace. Instead, the Lord promises something far more wonderful. It's granting grace to rejoice in every circumstance because rejoicing is always grace-based. So if people can't rejoice, if Christians say they can't rejoice, there's not much grace in their life, I guess. The surrendered believer is circumstance independent by resting in the Lord's presence alone through grace. God's grace. Does that surprise you? Energizes? Let me tell you something. If your life is full of the grace of God, you'll bring what? tennis shoes. You'll bring a white pair of tennis shoes next Sunday, and you'll be jumping right over the top of these chairs. That's how much grace you're going to have. God's grace energizes every scene of our lives to live for the glory of God and to live for our good and, again, His glory. Well, the only thing I can say to you is God's got it covered. Uncertainty comes from the devil. Doubt comes from Satan. Not from God. How can you live in uncertainty when you have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit and the Word of God available to you at any time? And you can come to His throne of grace any time. Amen. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank You, Lord Jesus, for this day, another day. You've given us another day to study the Word of the living God. To learn that without faith,